Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the day, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. I hope that you had a good holiday weekend, and we are so grateful for the opportunity to observe Memorial Day and just be so grateful for those who have given their lives in service of our country. And if that is you or your family, just please accept on behalf of a grateful nation our thanks and for that sacrifice. And today we are talking about investing in your family and reading bold stories of adventure. We're going to be talking about homeschooling today. We're going to be talking about children today. I've got a lot to cover, so hang in there. But I want to start by sharing with you one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. This quote, it is all over everywhere in my house. I frequently use it. And it says this: children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. And you can imagine, as someone who has devoted her life to the health and well-being of children, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. And today we're going to talk to someone who knows a little something about C.S. Lewis. We're talking today to Leah Bowden. She's coming to us all the way from across the pond from England. She is a wife to Dave. She's mother to four children. She has more than two decades of experience in church leadership. And she also has devoted herself to youth and children's and family work within the church and for the local education authority. She is a respected speaker, a podcast host, and a coach who passionately shares the transformative beauty of the Charlotte Mason approach to childhood, motherhood, and education. She is the author of Modern Miss Mason and lives with her family in West Midlands, England. Leah, we are so grateful to you coming to us all the way from across the pond. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on, Jessica. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
I am too. And Leah, we are big fans of equipping families to choose the best schooling for their kids. And I know there are a lot of families who school is just getting out for the summer. And there's some families who are thinking, maybe we want to try something different next year. Maybe we want to take that leap of faith, try homeschooling, try a private school, try something different. And for homeschooling, there are different options. And you are a fan and an expert in the Charlotte Mason method. And so I definitely want to talk about that. But let's just back up to the beginning and just tell us a little bit about you and how you came to be where you are with this ministry and the heart that you have to equip families.
Sure. Yeah. Well, as you've already introduced, I'm Leah, married to Dave for almost 25 years, coming up for our 25th anniversary. And our four children, I've got two boys, two girls, they range from 22 down to 14. So life is just is full and interesting. And as you know, having four children, and it is a real blessing. And we have obviously taken our marriage and parenting journey is something that is a gift from God, but we have a responsibility for. So very early on in our parenting journey, we knew we needed not just to love our kids and do what we could, but we needed to have a vision for our family. And as part of that process, we began to explore this whole idea of their discipleship and their education and what part we get to play in that. Here in the UK, kids generally start school, they have their little uniforms on, and they formally start school around the age of four. And I think we finally decided, I don't know if we're quite ready for that, and that wasn't the journey we wanted. So we began to explore what home education looked like here in the UK. So in the midst of life and family and ministry, we were making these big steps and big decisions in what do we want? What do we see for our children? What do we do today to kind of begin to sow into that? And part of that for us was beginning this exploration into home education. It's not as developed, and the community is not as large as it is in the States. You know, I think we probably In the US 70s and 80s, where there was a real resurgence of home education, and we're probably a couple of decades behind you guys in the States. So I was Googling stuff like, is it legal to home educate? So I really was starting from the beginning. But really, as I was doing these, Dave and I were beginning this beginnings of research, I came across the revolutionary British Christian educator, Charlotte Mason, who was really at the height of her ministry and her what she had to give into the educational model here in the UK in the, you know, early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s was when she was really moving and shaking the educational model. And so what I say is that I went down that rabbit hole. And, you know, nearly two decades on, I still have not come up. And I have just found not only this incredible depth of wisdom and knowledge, but a philosophy of education rooted in God's word that Dave and I have been able to really not only be students of, but be practitioners of with our four children, which is a huge blessing.
Leah, that's so such a beautiful journey. And you said that at the very beginning, when you started talking about this, you said you were looking at your kids' discipleship and education. You use those two words together. And I think that's the beauty of what you've been able to do, is to marry those two, to integrate right. discipleship into education, not have them as two separate entities. We're discipling them and we're educating them, right. but you are really discipling them through education. And you also said, we thought about what part we wanted to play in that. And you moved in this intentional direction. And like you said, now two decades later, here you are. So talk to me a little bit more about that marriage of discipleship and education and how you see those integrated in your children's experience.
Mm. I mean, I could talk for hours on this stuff. I'm very passionate about the parents' role in the discipleship of their children. And our conviction was always that we are the primary disciples of our children. We know that God intended us to be in family, in community. We're never supposed to do this journey alone. But especially those younger childhood years coming up into their early teens, that we were in the forefront of their life, that we didn't want them to be sent off to some institution for hours and hours and hours where you're just catching the kind of fringes of the day with them. We wanted to form a vision for our family and a rhythm for our life that included us all together. And so that discipleship is that emulation of pattern, impartation of life, that day to day walking together. And the fact that we decided that we would home educate, then you don't separate those two things. So, you know, the beginning of our day together was breakfast, reading the Bible together, praying over my family. And that still hasn't changed. You know, I drive my older teenagers to one of them is left and is doing national exams in school. And we drive and we pray. We call it car chapel. It's great.
Oh, I
and
love that.
That is how we have always topped and tailed our days. But then it's woven throughout everything you do. So you can be doing scientific nature study, but talking about God's creation, you know, and that in all our parenting challenges, you put prayer first and you talk about, okay, let's look at what the Bible says about this. So we've got that great scripture in Deuteronomy that talks about as you walk along the way, you share scripture and the word of God with our family. And the great thing about when you're home educating is that there's this natural rhythm that comes with it, that it's not forced into this kind of, I mean, I absolutely believe in family devotion time. I think discipline is important, but what our family thrived on is the interwovenness of it, that it was so natural. And it was just such a, I wasn't home educated, but I grew up in a house where my parents were always in prayer, always had worship music on wherever we go. It was the most, you know, second or first nature, really, isn't it? That they were talking to us about the things of the Lord. And that's how we wanted to be in our household. And so that does then infiltrate everything you do. And your conversation is, as the Bible says, seasoned with salt, that it's always part of who you are and what you do. So I'm not saying every math lesson was, counting loaves and fishes, but we knew the heart of God was in our decision making. It was prayer was in every day, and then you just trust God then with the fruit of that and what comes out of that.
That's a beautiful illustration of that verse in Deuteronomy. As you walk along the road, or as you drive along in Carr Chapel, I'm completely stealing that. I love that. And
Yes,
I
you
think
should.
I am. And I think that, Leah, you're 2 decades into this. And I think when a lot of parents first step out into a homeschooling journey, you're starting to plant seeds that you don't yet see the growth for. You don't really know where it's going to go, how it's going to turn out. But you have the beautiful blessing of being able to look back at 2 decades now of investment in this. You said your oldest is 22 and you're driving them to university, and they're starting to really start their adult lives. What do you see now as the fruit of those seeds that you planted so long ago? What do you see as the reward of that?
Yeah, great question. Sometimes I've gone years even and thinking, oh, I don't see anything. It's hard right now. And I think there are seasons, maybe not years, but there have been seasons where I've been going to God in prayer. And I often say to the Lord, Lord, you have the blueprint on my children. Show me, just give me a little bit. Give me a little glimpse into what to do here. And I love that the book of James says, if you ask for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. And I think as parents, we have to go to God with that every day. And so there have been seasons where I've just thought, wow, I'm not seeing much comeback here. I'm not getting any great reviews from my kids. And then something will happen. Something will happen, especially as they got into their older teens. And my eldest daughter, who's been living abroad for the past year, she's the 22-year-old. It was almost in the past year that she started to share some things with us as a family. And I've asked more direct questions about her home educating journey, where we have just seen, so not only verbally, but seen it in her life, the fruit of the investment from childhood in great literature, being out in nature, good cultural stuff, music and art, and that actually, she's been living in France and Italy, that she can't get away from that. She can't go through a European city without looking for art and beauty in nature. And through that, she'll often send me messages or postcards and saying, this reminded me of my childhood. I saw this today and it reminded me of when you told us this. Or I heard this music today and it reminded me of that moment when we were homeschooled and this happened. And she can come up with these beautiful memories. Also, what I have recognized is as my children have got older and their world has got bigger, it's kind of, as it should, and it does expands beyond your home and your little family or big family. And as they have grown in their friendships and relationships within the church and outside of, they've noticed how different families work, how other children have been raised and what they've been exposed to and how they've been educated. And they'll often come back and go, and hear me, I'm not trying to be arrogant here, but you asked a question about the fruit, but they'll say things like, gosh, our family, you really did some very specific things, didn't you? Or thank you for teaching us that. Or thank you for always being in prayer. That was the one of the things that my teenage daughter said to me recently. She said, we pray a lot, don't we? And we do that really naturally. And I said, yeah, it's really important. And she said, I've been around so many, even Christian children, that they don't have that in their life and they don't know that. And that's discipleship. That is that just kind of, this is not forced. This is not some set plan. We haven't bought a particular book to follow. We just know that the overflow of our life in Christ, rooted and grafted in Christ, has to flow out of us and into our family, into our household, into our children. And so I
Yeah,
think
I
I'm still
love that.
gathering,
I'm going to
I'm
hold you
still
right there
gathering the
as you're
review.
gathering it, because We are coming up against our first break, and I want to hear more about that. When we come back, we'll talk more about Charlotte Mason and her legacy and what she did, and we'll talk more about Leah's books. If you are looking for some summer reading for your kids, we have got a great recommendation for you in The Tales of Boldness and Faith. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Leah Boden. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry by rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day. They are putting a serious dent into abortion, but there are still thousands of babies who die daily. And Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Welcome back, friends. That song is Made for More by Josh Baldwin. And hey, maybe your child's education is made for more. Maybe you are finishing up the school year and you are thinking, maybe we need to do something different. If that is you, then today's program is for you. Or maybe you've already made that leap. Maybe you are choosing a different path of education. We are talking today with my guest, Leah Boden. She's an author and she's a Charlotte Mason homeschooling effort who took that leap of faith more than two decades ago, homeschooled her four children in England, and now has been sharing with us the fruits of that. And Leah, I'm so glad that you shared that, because I think There are so many listening who may be newer in a homeschool journey and a home education journey, and you don't see those fruits right away a lot of times. I remember being in a pineapple field in Hawaii. I've shared this story many times, but I went out there to see pineapples, and all I saw was a giant field of red dirt. I did not see pineapples as far as my eye could see. And yet there were all of these workers who were out there who were tending to the field. And it really convicted me, Leah, because I looked around and I thought, they know what they planted. They have confidence in the seed that they planted, and they know it will grow in the appointed time. And that's the kind of confidence that we need to have in our kids. If we are faithful to plant in them the seeds that God gives us, if we are intentional about investing in their discipleship journey, they need to see our confidence that we will see the fruit of those labors. And you referenced before the break, James 1, which is one of my favorite passages of scripture, encouraging us to rejoice in our trials because the testing of our faith produces a character. And when we look at that, we can know that there can be challenges. Nothing is ever going to be easy. But talking about the benefits of the blessings that you've had in this. And of course, you know, that passage in James goes on to say that if any of us lacks wisdom, we can ask God because he gives freely and abundantly to those who ask. And one of the things I've been looking at, Leah, you know, looking at the world emerging from COVID, one of the greatest fears that educators, that people who were invested in children had was children are going to be behind. Children who were in school are going to be behind on math and science and all of those things. And what we have learned in the research that's emerged from that says, actually, those things are not very difficult to catch up on. But the things that are very difficult to catch up on are character. And this is kind of shifts into the philosophy of Charlotte Mason. So I want you to start, Leah, by telling us who she is, because your book that you've written that I would recommend for summer reading, it looks so great, is a fictionalized account of her life. But she was a real person. So tell us about the legacy of Charlotte Mason.
Okay. Jessica, you said so many amazing things there. And I'm just, when you were talking about the pineapple field. So my first book is called Modern Miss Mason, which is basically a 21st century take really on the Charlotte Mason philosophy. And I talk in there because one of the major principles of her Charlotte Mason's philosophy is that, which is rooted in scripture, is that children are born persons. They're born in the image of God. And part of the educational approach is that we're not spoon feeding our kids what we think they should know. We are facilitating their world and education to draw out of them who God has made them to be. And so just like that pineapple field, I talk about the seed, just like we're talking about here, which is the theme of our conversation, it seems, that the seed that God has already said, this is who your child is. And we, you know, I think often as parents, we think we use language like shape. And I know it's a nice word, but it kind of communicates that we have some control, which I think is hilarious. When you've got teenage kids and adult kids, you're like, Dave and I often say, we have no control here. We have influence, but we don't have control here. And I think that's really healthy. And that really is a big part of Charlotte Mason's ideas. She was an educator from the age of 13. She was an apprentice in Victorian era, an apprentice teacher. And she never married, never had her own children, but she gave her whole life for the children's sake. And there's a beautiful book named after that, which was written in the 80s, but on brand, almost branded on some of even her furniture across the things that she owned, she would often have engraved for the children's sake, because her whole life was given for that. Now, she was surrounded by mothers and educators and inspectors, and so she didn't just do this on her own. And what she saw in the Victorian age was that children, one, were seen and not heard. That was very common. But secondly, that there was a polarization in what they were exposed to educationally, depending on, you know, money, basically, depending on how much, what kind of family they were in, where they were living in England, and what the expectation of their life was going to be. So if you're born into a mining family or a factory family, then you kind of got the basics of education, and then it was expected at a very young age that you would be in the family trade, and then education was kind of shut down. This is generalizing. And then if you were from a wealthier family, I mean, people have watched those great British historical documentaries and all sorts of things, but they were just, they'd often have private tutors and governesses, and they were educated to a higher level and given more opportunity. And Charlotte Mason said, "We need an education for all." Now, she wasn't saying this is exactly how a child was, it will change the future of Britain, but she said every child, and she used the word liberal, not as we often use it today, but it as in wide and varied and beautiful. And she described education as a feast of education. So she said every child should be open to this. They should be able to do this because, one, they're made in the image of God, and two, we need to allow children to connect with the world around them with beautiful literature, with art and culture and great maths, great science, so that we can discover who God has made them to be. So rather than dictating with test scores and tick lists, and that's exams come eventually to most people, but for the majority of their childhood, we get to expose them to beauty and rich culture and biblical principles that draws out who they are. And it's so simple, but yet it's very unique in its approach and how it was lining up against the educational voices of that day and today.
Well, your book series is called Tales of Boldness and Faith, and the first book is The Angel Orphan, Charlotte Mason Finds Her Way Home. It is a fictionalized account of Charlotte Marie Shaw Mason and her life. How was it researching that, Leah, and bringing her character to life and knowing that, you're telling this story about a girl who became a woman who was a leader in this education movement that changed the course of your family's life and countless other families? What was that like? How did you balance the historical accuracy with bringing her to life on the pages of your book?
Yeah, I mean, it was. So the series so far has three books, only two have been released. And even though I knew the most about Charlotte Mason initially, it was probably the hardest to write because I knew so much about her. And I'd been, I call myself a student. I still do call myself a student of her work. Love, reading about her. And I have access within a few hours, I can access her archives. I can even look at her original manuscripts of her books, which is a privilege. So I had to decide what elements of this incredible story do I share with this middle grade audience? And I really, the series is called Tales of Boldness and Faith. And the title Angel Orphan is because she was orphaned as a teenager. Both her parents passed away. And but the angel part was how someone described her at the end of her life. They said she had the face of an angel, and everyone said she was warm and so kind, and she just really did reflect the heart of Jesus, that the way she treated people, the way she attended to her work, and also was faithful to what God had given her to do. She didn't try to go beyond that. She taught governesses and teachers. She taught children, and she wrote about it as well. And it's almost she put everything into that, and really was an educational leader, a businesswoman, an entrepreneur in her time, really. But it all had one focus, and that was, for I'm sorry. So sorry.
That's okay. Are you there?
Is
Can you
that
still hear
is that
us?
you or is that you or me?
I don't hear anything. You sound okay to me, Leah.
I can hear. I'm so sorry.
That's
I'm sorry. I
okay.
know this is live.
No,
You
that
can't
is all
hear
right.
anything.
No, I
I do
can't hear anything at all.
apologize.
No, that's okay.
Okay,
This
this
is the
is.
joy and adventure of live radio. It's all
I
good. I'm going to
know,
go
I
back to
know.
James 1. We're going to rejoice in the trials and tribulations of live radio and technology. Are you able to continue, Leah?
I can continue. I don't know
Okay.
what that was. Something just
Okay. All
happened.
right, no problem. It is okay. Well, you were just talking about the incredible life of Charlotte Mason, and you know, it reminded me when one of my children, when one of my sons was going to kindergarten, he had gone to school for the day, and I when he got home, I asked him, I said, "Well, what did you learn today?" And he said, "Oh, I learned that when the little hand on the clock is on the 10 and the big hand is on the 6, we get to go outside." That's what he had learned. And you know, I thought,
Love
oh,
that. Children are
okay.
brilliant.
Yes. But you know, that's one of the freedoms and flexibilities that you have with the Charlotte Mason method of homeschooling,
Yes.
because there is an emphasis on narration instead of testing. There's living books over just reading textbooks, and there's nature study, outdoor time. There are things that you've talked about how you wanted it to be beautiful. You want education to be enjoyable and not something that you have to do. And I think of how many parents are sitting here, you know, fighting over homework, and schooling may be a challenge. And you know, I always think about, Leah, that when however you educate your kids, it's going to be difficult. You just get to choose what that difficult looks like. Is it difficult
Absolutely.
and learning a new method and but then your children enjoy it? Or is it difficult and this is what we have to do, but that homework is difficult, but you get to choose that. Talk about some of the freedom and the beauty and the contrast that is there that you found in Charlotte Mason.
I think a big thing that I learned over the years is often I do some coaching as well, and mothers will come to me and they'll use the language of "I just feel completely burnt out," and you know, "I don't know what to do next. I'm exhausted." And I've something that I learned very early on is that it, as well as not just me, I'm not really educating my children, even though that is my role, if it was my role for many, many years. But I'm this picture of coming alongside helped me, even visually, of that we're doing this journey together. I mean, yes, that they have to, you know, learn the how to attend to their life and work, and you know, the simple things of mathematics and handwriting and reading are really important. But I get to come alongside and do the journey with them, which that had it just feels there's a more gentle approach to it. And I know because I felt like that was a privilege, and I also found the delight in doing that, then that was really for me kind of protected me in somewhat from burnout, from feeling that completely I'm done. And I knew when I had to take a break, I knew when we needed to just, hey, let's just pause and do something different. But that coming alongside, that picture of that was really helped me. I think that also the whole being a student of her work, of Charlotte Mason says, get yourself an educational philosophy, like know why you're doing it. What's your why? And that's also really important. That keeps you moving forward, know your why. And so that in itself, I knew one that really God had guided us to this, and that was a huge reason to keep moving forward, but also that I also loved it and enjoyed it. And I wasn't just looking for curriculum, I was daily searching for connection with my children, with God. And that, again, that really kept everything very organic and alive, and every day was fresh. And yes, I had a plan, and yes, I did my work, but still we approached every day being grateful, like, what, let's see what, how this day unfolds. And we all know as parents, something can happen to one child and it changes the whole day, or you know, anything can just affect the way you, the way your day goes. So those things did, it softened the journey. It wasn't easy. You still are dealing with all the same parenting things, and also really desiring your child to progress academically, intellectually. But ultimately, if you feel, if you carry the 100% responsibility of that as a weight, then it will be a burden, it will be stress, and you'll all end up in tears at the end of the day. But I knew that actually, my children are made in the image of God, and they are capable
Yeah,
of engaging with the world and
they are.
contributing to it. I just need to
Leah,
draw that stuff out of them.
absolutely. And I have more questions for you. We'll talk more about the series of books. The second book is actually about C.S. Lewis. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Leah Boden. See you on the other side of this break.
You may have noticed it's become hard to trust the media. Casual observers know it. News hounds have noticed it. Even members of the media are talking about it.
I'm very worried about the press, extremely worried about the press.
Seasoned mainstream media pro Leslie Stahl says legacy media credibility is down because of people like Elon Musk and President Trump.
If the President of the United States is going to say legacy media is dead, well, I guess Musk said that. Legacy media is dead.
What she doesn't get is that the media's lack of credibility has followed years of biased reporting. On the other hand, you can trust American Family News. AFN presents the facts in an unbiased way so you can draw your own conclusions. American Family News also provides news of interest to Christians, which you won't hear from the mainstream. At the top of the hour or at AFN.net, you can trust American Family News.
Okay. I'm about to have a good day. No matter what they say. Sun is shining down on me. Birds are singing praise. I'm about to have a good day. In every single way. The God who made the universe knows me by my name, so it's a good day.
Welcome back, friends. That is Good Day by Forrest Frank. And I feel like Forrest Frank is playing everywhere I go. And his songs really are so uplifting. And today we're bringing you an uplifting show with an uplifting guest. I'm talking to Leah Bowden today about her series of books. There are three books. They are in a series called Tales of Boldness and Faith. Now, if you're following along on our 52 Habits for Healthy Families, our habit this week and last week is reading faith-based books and watching faith-based films. And I will tell you that I have always made it a habit of reading out loud to my kids. And if that is not something that you have done before, I encourage you to do it. And it may be awkward and you may get some eye rolls and some groans and some really, but persevere, because what happened for me was I would continue to read out loud. And then at the end of that chapter, I would hear Are you done? Not another one? Can we read one more? And then you would know. They would love having that interaction with you. This might be great books for your school-age kids. The first one is called Angel Orphan. Charlotte Mason Finds Her Way Home, about Charlotte Mason, a woman who lived in 19th century England. And she is the founder of the Charlotte Mason homeschooling method. And her second book, The Chronicles of Wonder, is available now, about C.S. Lewis. And there is a third book that is forthcoming. And for me, as I start to think about the soundtrack of my summer, as my four kids are home, I've got high school, college age kids. I'm talking about cars moving in and out of the driveway, laughter at like midnight coming from my kids just having a good time together, the door opening and closing 14 million times as we're going to move the cars in the driveway and reorganize
them. The kitchen is
never
closed.
Exactly. That. See, you know this. We're in the same life phase.
I know.
You know that. And I listened to that soundtrack. I hope that parents will listen to the soundtrack of their summer and include some of this with them. Leah, some of these books that you have written. And so I would love to know more just about how this series of books came to be and what was your vision for writing the Tales of Boldness and Faith?
Thank you for asking. That's such a great question. I love this story because this really is rooted. I mean, I think the seeds of this series began to grow in me. Even I would honestly say as a teenager myself, I remember reading just being I loved tales of missionaries, and I read Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger on repeat. I used to love reading Nikki Cruz, anything about mission work, gospel going out to all the nations. I just would read all those books. And as I began my home educating journey, a big part of the rhythm of our days and weeks was reading biographies, children's biographies. We even started with board books and simple books you can get, and then moved on to chapter versions of that. And my favorite collection of these were written in the 1940s, 1950s. And I would find them in secondhand bookstores and online and buy them whenever I could find them. And they were what I would describe as fictionalized biographies. That's kind of the sometimes I say to my publisher, have we made up the genre? But anyway, that's what we're calling it. And really what it is, it's the foundation of the story in the book is the biography, as much as you can share of that person. But woven through that is storytelling. And just imagine if so I'll often say to children who are reading my book and they'll say, you know, did this bit happen? I'm like, well, it could have. It could have. And we're just, you know, very soon, especially over the summer, my website will be full of educational resources and curriculum support to help people pick through that and really sort of learn from it. But it came from that. And I remember my first book, Modern Miss Mason, you know, launched out into the world and had been out a year or so. And suddenly sharing with my literary agent, you know, wouldn't it be amazing to write Charlotte's story as a biography for children? So there are two biographies that have been written for adults. One is pretty academic, quite highbrow, very good, very thorough. I read it multiple times in my study. And she immediately said, yes. And she said, and think of 10 more people. Publishing is very excitable. And so I said, okay, you know, where shall we go with this? And the wonderful people at Moody Publishers jumped right on and said, we want to do this with you. They love that kind of series. And honestly, it felt like right from the beginning of the process, it just felt like a gift to be able to write these stories. I haven't written for children before, but I have read to my children for 22 years, and I've read these kind of books on repeat. So these were almost they'd become part of my soul, you know, this style and like communicating what we can learn from the powerful work of God in somebody's life that we can learn from. I have grown and been discipled and mentored through reading. And I have there's things that have really impacted me where God has done things in my life through the reading of stories of other people's lives. And so my prayer in every page and as I was writing and going through these books was that, like, Lord, guide me in communicating the right parts of these stories. And so just a huge privilege to be able to write these books and get them out into, you know, the hands and homes of hopefully people all over the world. And that in itself feels very missional to me, of being able to do that. Yeah.
Well, character and habit formation, habit training are central to Charlotte Mason method of home education. How did you pull that through in your book? Because I think that's so important for us to give our children exemplars of that. People who persevered, people who were patient, yes, people who were brave and bold, people who, you know, stepped out in faith, people who endured hardship and yet remained, you know, soft in spirit. Those kinds of real stories are so important to give, and you have given us those. And so how do you see that kind of bridge from that character and habit training that's part of your everyday schooling? How did you see that come across the pages of these stories that you're telling?
I think it was important to me that I didn't hide away or was fearful about sharing the real stuff in these people's lives. So in Charlotte Mason's story, you know, in all three stories, Jessica, I didn't realize until I'd finished them all, there are various themes that run through that are going to sound very dark when I say them. But actually, what you see is this, what God does through this. And so there are themes of grief. There are themes of displacement, which a lot of children experience, mm-hmm, having to be moved from one country to another, or even one school to another, one school district to another, or one season to another. Any kind of transition can be a huge displacement for children. So there are themes of family grief, of just, you know, relationships, sibling relationships. There are so many similar themes to all these three books that actually then I recognized as I stood back and thought, oh yeah, look at this. This is happening. But we see the work of God, of God's faithfulness, His that beautiful grace and mercy just following them all the days of their lives. And you see that coming through. But also you see the decision of each person I write about to, you know, continue to step in that direction. And so for C.S. Lewis, you know, his faith journey, actually his salvation story happened a lot later in life. You know, he was a full-on adult man when he decided he was fighting against salvation and against God, and he kind of relented, didn't he, later in life. But the Sarah Forbes Bonetta story and Charlotte's story, there really is this beautiful, simple faith from childhood that grows through. And so what we see in all these books, and what I wanted to communicate, is that just because we're following Jesus, just because we have this beautiful call in our lives to do certain things, doesn't mean that we are not going to go through tough stuff. And in Charlotte's story, actually, I talk about her friend shares the scripture with her, you know, where Jesus says, "You will have trouble, but I have overcome the world." And she carries that with her because she does have trouble, but she understands that she serves a God who has overcome. And so that again runs through. So I have the real life narrative over their lives, but the thread that was woven all the way through is the truth of scripture and them aligning themselves with that. So, you know, and that ultimately leads to fruit and freedom. And so I hope children see that as they read, and families see that as they read through them.
One of the verses I share with my children all the time, John 15:33. Yeah. That is exactly it. We want to protect our kids from all of the bad things that happen in the world. But the truth is, we can't do that, Leah. We live in a world that's saturated by screens. We live in a world where news moves at the speed of a smartphone. We live in a world where our kids are exposed to things we don't want them to be exposed to. But right. This is such a great example of exposing them to hardship, to the hardship of others, in a developmentally appropriate way, in a way that that's is written right. for their age, that they can understand, and that's given through the lens of faith. That is such an important illustration. And we look at things right. that happened in scripture. We see all of those things. There were terrible things that happened in scripture, but God, those are my two favorite words together in the history of the English yes, language right. for sure. And that goes back to a little bit more what you were talking about earlier, Leah, about influence versus control. Sharing some of these stories is a way to influence them, to say, hey, there are other people in the world who have experienced some of the emotions, some of the circumstances, some of the right. tragedies, the trials, the triumphs that you have experienced, and here is how they use their life to glorify God. That's where influence comes from. And if we try to control every little thing, that is a fruitless journey for sure. Right. And so how do you right. see that? How do you hope that these stories of faith will influence a new generation of readers?
I hope that we don't move away from thinking, you know, this idea that we can't learn from these people of the past anymore. And I think that, like you've just mentioned, we live in an age where, you know, somebody has a lot of followership on TikTok or Instagram, and they're suddenly deemed as an expert, as someone who has a voice into our life. And I always say to people, be careful who you give the microphone to, who holds the microphone in your life, who is allowed to have a voice into your life. And so, you know, is it the Instagram expert who's 25 years old and done, you know, or can we still learn from those who have gone before us? I mean, Charlotte Mason was a huge proponent of learning from people like Plutarch, who shared these stories of leaders throughout the years, from Julius Caesar, you know, like we need to learn from the downfalls and the successes of those that have gone before us. And so that's what I want to do, that through these stories, is that can we learn from the challenges and the successes of these people? But more than that is that their devotion to Jesus and following Jesus and understanding him, no matter how simple or grand their life was, no matter how much we might know them or might not know them. You know, some people will know C.S. Lewis very well because of the accolade he has from his writing. Some in the right circles will know Charlotte Mason. Sarah Forbes Bonetta, the book that's coming out in August, she was a West African orphan and was kind of taken under the wing of Queen Victoria. It's an incredible story, a really moving story. but I doubt many people will have heard of her. And it's kind of not just picking out the famous few, but saying there are people who have walked alongside others in life through history and today that we can learn from, and that we that can point us to Jesus over and over again. So through these books, I wanted to retell these beautiful stories of lives that should be remembered, but also that all of them would encourage us in our faith, and also just, you know, help us find connections in those stories. And like you just said, as I was writing, I was imagining children. You know, C.S. Lewis struggled. He was bullied at school, and you know, working through that and how he dealt with that and what he held on to. This is even before he knew he had a relationship with Jesus. And so we cover lots and lots of different things through those stories. So hopefully children will see a little bit of themselves in there, see others, but also most of all see Jesus. And that's my hope for them.
Amen to that. I don't know what to add to that, Leah. That is exactly my prayer. My heart echoes that for you. And I go back to the quote that I shared at the beginning of the show from C.S. Lewis. Children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work. How you choose to invest in your children this summer, no matter their age or stage, it doesn't matter if they're little, if they're middle school, if they're grown, invest in your children. Leaving them a legacy of faith is the most important work. If you want to know more about Leah's books, about Modern Miss Mason or the Charlotte Mason Home Education, you can go to leahbodin.com, LEAHBODEN, leahbodin.com. And as you do, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, and that he will be gracious to you as you invest in your kids. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.